ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
We got to be careful. One of the dangerous areas to be is prideful. I am so spiritual. Look out. Look out. We need to be careful and rely on the Lord for everything. And think about this. If Joshua prayed, if he called for a prayer meeting, do you think the Lord would have given him battle plans for Ai? No. What would God have done? He would have said, there's sin in the camp and you need to deal with it before you go into battle. Again, self-confidence, pride gets us into trouble. Not seeking direction from the Lord gets us in trouble. You know, Solomon said in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I mean, let's face it, don't we rely on our own understanding of situations many times? Because it seems so obvious. You know, we look at the situation, well, this, so I got to do this. But did you pray about it? It's not always the answer. I mean, Ai means heap or ruin, like I said. Not a big city. But if we don't seek the Lord, our lives end up becoming a ruin. They become a heap of a mess, you might say, if we don't seek direction from the Lord. You know, you probably know this story about King Asa in the southern kingdom of Judah. He was a godly king. He was a good man. There is an army gathering against the southern kingdom of Judah. It's a massive army. More than the southern kingdom of Judah could fight against. Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them. They were outnumbered, the children of Israel, 2-1. And in 2 Chronicles 14:11, listen to what we're told. Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against the multitude. O Lord, you are God. Do not let man prevail against you. You know what I like about that? Nowhere in there does it say Asa relied on his own strength, his military might. Lord, you help us. We have no strength at all. We cannot accomplish this on our own. And we're told in 2 Chronicles 14 that the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gir. So the Ethiopians were overthrown and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. God gives them this great victory because they trusted in him. And then in 2 Chronicles 15, something interesting happens. We're told that the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now here's this great victory, right? They're coming home from this great victory against the Ethiopians. And here comes Azariah. And he tells them, the Lord's with you while you're with him, while you seek him. He's with you. Are you serious? We just relied on the Lord. He gave us this great victory. What on earth are you talking about? Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? Asa didn't say that, but he listened. But I don't think he took it to heart. You see, the southern kingdom of Judah had gotten into some idolatry like the northern kingdom did, only the northern kingdom was worse. And here comes Asa. He's bringing reform to the nation, the southern kingdom of Judah. And here he's got great victory. And then in 2 Chronicles 16, we see a battle getting started between the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Remember, revival is breaking out in the south. That's where the temple was. They're seeking God, God's blessing. And Baasha was the king in the northern kingdom of Israel. And people are flooding from his kingdom down into the southern kingdom of Judah. He's losing people. So he wants to stop that. So he sets up this little area to prevent it. Prevent his people from coming into the southern kingdom of Judah. What's Asa going to do now? There's trouble. I bet he brings it before the Lord, right? Interestingly enough, he doesn't. Instead of crying out to the Lord, you know what he does? He cries out to Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, for help. Wow, that's a huge contrast from what happened before. Then he trusted in the Lord, now he's trusting in man. Maybe during the years of peace, Asa didn't cultivate a deep relationship with the Lord, but was focusing on his own strength. These actions are just born out of an empty spirit. And what he does is he takes the treasuries of God and gives them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, an unbeliever, to help him with his problems. Here's the thing, guys. You never, never, never make an alliance with the enemy. You never ask them to assist you. It doesn't matter how bad the situation is. He started out strong. His reforms were good. He faded at the end of his life. And it tells me it doesn't matter how long you've walked with the Lord, the enemy never gives up. We can't let our guard down even at the end of our life. You see, here's what happened. Ben-Hadad had a treaty with Baasha, the king in the northern kingdom. But he was bought out by Asa. And he comes to the aid of Asa. Baasha is the king in the north, is down in Ramah, the southern part of his kingdom. So what does Ben-Hadad do? He raids the northern parts of the northern kingdom. So what does Baasha have to do? He has to take all his men who are down in the south, putting up this little border patrol, and bring them up to the north to protect his people. The battle plan was great. This has to be of God, right? It worked. Not exactly. In fact, when King Asa was rebuked by the prophet for his actions, he was told that he did wrong. We're told then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. He was mad at this rebuke and got mad at the seer. And isn't that interesting? As you try to help people correct them, they get mad at you, right? Why? Because they can't get mad at God. How do you fight against God? You fight against the messengers of God. That's all these people were messengers of God. You know, if we could hear this guy now, he'd probably say, don't shoot the messenger. You know, I'm just the messenger of God here. One writer said, things which appear successful may be in the life of faith most disastrous. Absolutely. And it's interesting because in 2 Chronicles 16:12, we're told that Asa became diseased in his feet. His walk was lame at the end of his life. You know, who cares about his feet, right? I mean, why would you even put that in the Bible? I think it was more than just his feet. I think it was his walk with God. Here's a man who started out so strong, brought great reform to the southern kingdom of Judah, so much so that people in the northern kingdom of Israel came down. And it was too much for him. And he turned from the Lord, sought the strength of man, and his walk with God was lame. That's what we see really here with Joshua. He's moving out in the flesh instead of seeking God, and he's going to fail. And this, again, was not a big battle. We have to continually, in all things, depend on the Lord. Paul said, finally, my brethren, in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not be strong in yourself and in your power, but in the Lord. Battle plan, self-confidence. Be careful, be wise. Why? Because trouble is out there, guys. Look at verse 4 here in Joshua 7. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gates as far as Sherebrim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. This is the defeat at Ai. And it's kind of crazy. You know, they went up with 3,000 men against this little city of Ai, and then they fled before the men of Ai. They lost 36 men in this battle. How many men did the children of Israel lose in their battle against Jericho? Zero. Not even one. Maybe they should have sent in 100,000 men. Then they could have defeated Ai. You could have sent in 100 million men, and you still would have lost. Why? Because they were disobedient to the Lord. It didn't matter how many men went in against Ai. They were being disobedient to the Lord, and God was not going to give them the victory. It's not a matter of their strength or the strength of the opponent. It was the help of the Lord. And without the Lord, they weren't going to win. They would never obtain victory. And I think it's important for us also that sin, those accursed things in our lives, will rob us of the victory that God has for us. And if we don't take this battle that we face each and every day seriously, we end up being defeated. They didn't. And yet you could look at this from a military standpoint, you know, losing 36 men in battle, that's not a lot. But 36 men lost their lives in this battle when at Jericho, not one Jew lost their lives. The sin of one person had consequences on the innocent. And because Joshua didn't seek the Lord, they were defeated. And look at what happened in the camp of Israel. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. They're thinking, man, if we can't even destroy this heap of ruins, how are we going to destroy any of these enemies? How are we going to get any victory here? We won't be able to defeat anyone. And that's true. You know, apart from God, we can't. You know, Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We have to understand what the Lord said, told Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And with sin in our camp, you might say, we grieve the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, and we won't get those victories. The defeated Ai, we have to be careful, we have to be wise. Why? Because trouble is out there, right? You'll get this. I'm going to keep hammering it home. Trouble is out there. Look at verse 6 of Joshua 7. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, both he and the elders of Israel. And they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? The last point is the blame game. And that's exactly what he's doing here. This is your fault, God. I'm laying it on you. What are you going to do about this? I think that's interesting. I mean, I think they started out okay. You know, they tore their clothes, put dust on their heads. They fell down before God. But then, instead of seeking direction from God, guidance from him, they're mad at God and they're blaming him for losing this battle. That word alas can be paraphrased, we've had it with you. We're done. Look at what you did to us. There's no mention of sin, their failure, seeking to see if maybe they did something wrong. This is kind of the whole idea here. Lord, this is your fault. Why did you bring us to this place if you weren't going to keep your promise? You failed us. We might as well have stayed in the wilderness than to be defeated by a city as small as Ai. You made a promise and now you let us down. Now, we talked about it last time. God's promises never fail, do they? So if they do, we got to look at our own hearts, our own lives. Is there something wrong? Now, sometimes just because things are difficult or they don't turn out the way we think they should doesn't mean they're sin. God is working. But we need to be careful. We need to be open and seek God. You know, he is holy. He is righteous. There's no darkness in him at all. He doesn't lie. What Joshua should have done is said, Lord, what did I do wrong that caused you to act this way? Why did we lose this battle? Is there something going on in my life, in the life of the people here? But they were blaming God. You know, when things fall apart for us, we not only blame God, we tend to drop out, we stop serving, we leave. Why? Because we lost the battle. What's the use? But think about this. Was the battle too strong for God to give you the victory in the situation you're in? Absolutely not. Well, what about, you know, my drug addiction has a hold of my life. There's no way to get out of it. What about lusting after all kinds of things? I can't stop. What about my addiction to pornography? I can't let it go. And you can put whatever you want there. But let me ask you again. Are these battles too strong for the Lord to give us victory, to destroy those fortresses in our lives? Absolutely not. I mean, he's the creator of heaven and earth, right? He's all-powerful, all-knowing. He's in total control. So do you think he can handle the battles that we face? Yeah. We have to be patient. We have to wait upon him. We have to seek direction from him. And always, there's nothing wrong with doing a heart check. Lord, is there something going on in my life? It may not be. There may not be anything going on wrong. You may be walking the way God wants you. These situations may come into your life, but you do a heart check to see. And that's what they didn't do. If there's a problem, remember your walk with the Lord and return to him. Repent of your sin and walk accordingly. That's what they needed to do. They didn't. Remember the blame game. If you're blaming God, it's not his fault. Okay? Be careful. Be wise. Why? Trouble is out there. Thank you very much. There is one person awake in the church. Praise God. Now, I want to deal with this thing here about this idea of but. When we see man, it related to man, B-U-T, not a good thing. But when it says, but God, it's pretty amazing. In Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10, listen to what we're told of God, and then I'll kind of dig a little deeper on this. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When we started out this morning, I talked about when God tells us something and we say, but, that's never a good thing. Because God is telling us something that we need to listen and obey. But when we read, but God, wow, what a wonderful thing. God, rich in mercy, his great love for us. We were dead in trespasses. He made us alive together in Christ. That is an amazing, amazing thing. One writer put it like this, John Stout put, these two monosyllables, but God, set against the desperate condition of fallen mankind, the gracious initiative and sovereign action of God. We were the objects of his wrath, but God, out of the great love with which he loved us, had mercy upon us. We were dead, and dead men do not rise, but God made us alive with Christ. We were slaves in a situation of dishonor and powerlessness, but God has raised us with Christ and set us at his own right hand in a position of honor and power. Thus, God has taken action to reverse our condition in sin. Absolutely. I'll just share just a couple verses with you about God's, when it says, but God. This is in Genesis 50. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to save many people alive. Psalm 49, their beauty shall be consumed in the grave, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Isn't that great? Look at what God has done. Psalm 73, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Oh, when I'm just overwhelmed, but God comes in and gives me the strength I need to endure the situations that I face. Romans 5, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us that in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How encouraging is that? 1 Corinthians 2, eye has not seen nor ear heard, the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Man, every time we open up God's word, but God has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. His Spirit is opening up his word to our heart and to our lives. Whenever you feel discouraged look up some but God verses and be reassured of God's involvement in the lives of those who love him. God loves us so much, he's not going to leave us in this condition of sin. He'll deal with us. You know, God chastens us because he loves us. He wants us to repent and return because the path we're on is dangerous. And yeah, he'll wait till we come to the end of ourselves, but we have to remember he has what's best for our lives. He's not trying to hurt us. For the children of Israel in this battle, I hope you're seeing how easy it is for someone who loves God to get angry at God. Because that's just what Joshua's doing. It's almost like, this is your fault, right? And he didn't even see the sin that was in the camp. But God is so amazing that God is going to show him. God's going to tell him, Joshua, get up. There's sin in the camp. And I'm sure, you know, it's kind of like one of those V8 things. Oh, I should have had a V8. I should have sought God. There's my mistake. See, that's the wonderful thing about Joshua, as he saw his mistake, he saw his sin. He saw that he didn't trust in the Lord. And God was, again, chastening him to restore him. And that's exactly what's going to happen. But look at what sin did in their lives. Disobedience. They let the accursed things, sin, cause them to turn from God. The battle plans caused them to have self-confidence in their own ability to win this war. They didn't even seek God. They didn't even pray. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. And then they encountered the defeated Ai because of their disobedience to God's word and their self-confidence. The enemy defeated them. They lost the battle they should have won. I'm sure if they prayed, God would reveal to them what the problem was before they even went into this battle. And then it becomes the blame game. You know, when you're not walking with God, you blame God for all the problems that come into your life instead of remembering where you came from, repenting of your sin, and returning to him. I remember years ago, one of my kids, when they weren't walking with the Lord, they were in high school, teenagers, and he got arrested for something. I don't even remember what it was. It's hard to keep track. But it was so hard because my wife and I went into the police station to get him, and he was just reaming the police officer out. And it's their fault. They did this to me. And I'm thinking, if you didn't cause a problem, you would have never been arrested. And I had to apologize to the police officer. But isn't that what we do? God, I'm following you. It's kind of like in the Psalm. I look at the wicked and they're having a grand old time. They had parties, they write books, they're using a little free license here, on television shows and radio shows. They're having a grand old time. They're just famous and popular and everyone's listening to them. And I have washed my hands and I'm clean. I walk with you, God. And this is what you do to me? And that's how we get. It's kind of prideful. Said he almost slipped. He almost went down. You know how he got back? He went into the house of the Lord, and God showed him. The wicked don't get away with anything. And it changed his whole heart, his whole attitude. So if you're struggling here this morning with that, where, you know, things have happened in your life that are just overwhelming, you just don't know why, you try so hard. And first of all, do a heart check. See if there's something in there that needs to change. Secondly, trust God. Understand he's working and he wants what's best for your life. For the children of Israel, they committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. We can't say but to God. We have to say yes, Lord. And let him finish the story in your life. And let him say, let it read, but God, right? Isn't that what we want for our lives? But God. Yeah, there's trouble out there, but God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for those encouraging words, just knowing that you're always with us, that you want what's best for our lives. And yeah, we do blow it at times. We don't seek you. We become prideful, thinking we can do it on our own. Or, Lord, it just seems like a small situation. And as we get ourselves in the midst of it, it becomes a heap of ruins and just a mess for us. Lord, we always need to seek you. We need to get direction because sometimes it's just not that simple. You have the best plans for us, and you want us to always seek you each and every day of our lives. Help us to remember that. Help us never to question, to say, but God, I don't want to. But let you say to us that you want to lead us all the days of our life. May we follow. Thank you, Lord. We ask these, that you just continue to work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.